Good morning. Oh, man. You guys still waking up here? Let's try that again. Good morning. There we go. A little too much partying last night. Welcome to Worship Here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. And again, yeah, happy birthday to America, 250. I was reading this morning, it was all about kind of changes that have happened in the past 250 years. So I'll save you guys the trouble. But most of it just was then wondering in awe of all the blessings that we have, like on an average household, like flush toilets and a shower, nice hot shower. And Wi-Fi is just an astounding thing. I can go on and on. But again, I give thanks to God that at this time, all the technologies that we've enjoyed growing to where we are now over 250 years. But today we're going to be reflecting upon Jesus' words where he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So go ahead and stand on up as we begin our service, remembering whose we belong to, having claimed the waters of holy baptism beginning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this beautiful day, Lord, this day that we get to come into your word, or your house, Lord, and to hear your word, and to hear your forgiveness, and to hear your mercy and strength for your people. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, as we gather here today. Help us, Lord, to know you better so that we can worship you, Lord, as the amazing God that you truly are. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is time for us to confess our sins. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. But your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. It's nice to have a bit cooler temperature this morning. Yeah. The first reading, I'm Jeff Rabe. I'm one of your elders here. The first reading this morning is from Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.'" This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading for our message this morning is Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All right, children, it is time for the children's message. If you guys would come forward at this time, Mrs. Armbruster has the message for you this morning.
Good morning. I was thinking maybe I'd have maybe one kid this morning. I don't know, after the fireworks last. Oh, these are a little sleepy looking. How many of you guys stayed up late last night?
I did.
I know. So, did any of you go to a 4th of July party or something yesterday?
I did.
So it reminded me of kind of a party from when I was a little one like you. And we had this kind of above ground pool at our house. It wasn't really big or fancy or anything. But school was going to start on Monday. So my mom and dad told me, and they told my brother, "You guys can have a party." My brother was going to have his friends over on Saturday, and they would all play in the pool. I could have my friends over on Sunday after church, and we could play in the pool because school was going to start on Monday. So I spent a lot of time getting ready, and I blew up beach balls so we could, play volleyball, and we were going to play baseball with pool noodles, and I had all these diving contests and splashing contests. I told my parents what I wanted to eat, and I did decorations, I made medals, and I spent a whole lot of time getting ready. So my brother had his party on Saturday. His friends came over. That was great. Sunday morning when I woke up, guess what? It was raining. So we went to church, and I thought, well, the rain will stop. And guess what happened at the end of church? It was raining more. Except for there was thunder and lightning. It was really bad. And so when we got home, you know what my mom and dad told me? "You have to cancel your party. You can't have your party. It's dangerous." And I was not a very good kid when they told me that. I kind of went, "Oh, my brother always gets everything he wants, and I don't get anything. I don't ever get anything." And I probably rolled my eyes and it's not fair that it's raining and blah, 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 blah. I was very unpleasant. Do you think that made my parents very happy? No, probably not. But the reason I tell you that story is because there was a guy in the reading, the first reading that we did, and we kind of had something in common. He spent a lot of time and thought a lot about, I'm going to build new barns for all these crops that I have. And he spent a lot of time thinking about it and doing it. And guess what? It never happened. It never happened. And the message at the end in the Bible, it says, we should think about things that are important to God, not about things that are important on this earth. Was my party really all that important? No, I actually made it through life without that party. I did. But there are things that God says, these things are important, and you should think about and do these things. Now, do you guys see that cross up there? We look at that cross all the time, don't we? Well, I actually knew the guy that designed that cross, and I think maybe he might have read those words in the Bible too, about thinking and doing things that God thinks are important, because there's a lot of really important things on that cross. And I actually have one. You might have one at your house. I have a little one just like that, and I look at it a lot because it reminds me of what's important to God. Now, I'm going to see if you can figure out what some of those things might be or maybe not be. Can you see that cross? Yeah, and some of you can read. So I'm going to say some things, and if it's something that you think God wants us to think about and do, I want you to point up to the cross. Well, actually, the cross is there, okay? So if it's something that God thinks is really important, point to the cross. And if it's not really that important, just leave your hands down. Are you ready? First one. Good job, Liam. How about give thanks? Be thankful. Do you think that's something? Yeah, let's point to that cross. God wants us to be thankful, doesn't he? That's important. That's important. Good job. Next one. Get new toys. Yeah, sometimes it's fun, isn't it? It's fun to get new toys, but it's not really a super important thing to God. How about this one? Serve with joy. Yeah, let's point to that cross. God says, serve with joy. That's an important thing to think about and to do. How about this one? Forgive. Yeah, that's important. That's really important. How about win the baseball game? That's fun too, isn't it? But it's not really that important to God, or the soccer game on Monday at 7 against Belgium. Not that it's important. Yeah. I got one more. How about go, baptize, teach? Yeah. So where are we supposed to go and teach, and what are we supposed to teach about? Math?
Sometimes.
Math is important. You are correct. What are we supposed to teach about?
God.
What about God? What do we want everybody to know? What does that cross remind us of? Yes, Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, and now we get to go to heaven, and we get to live here doing all those things that Mr. Linen Broker put on his cross. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we just have to kind of remind ourselves sometimes. Again, I have to look at my cross a lot. That's important. That may not be. So let's pray about that. Dear God, help me to do and think about the things that are important to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the good life, and how do you get there? In order to answer that first question, I went to the best repository of information I could find, of course, YouTube, and just typed that in just to see what I would get. And of course, I found a guy who is interviewing college students at some prestigious campuses. And not unexpectedly, a lot of their answers were, well, to get rich or make a lot of money was the first thought they had. And as I was listening to that, I was remembering a documentary that I saw as I was just starting out as a DCE. It came out in 2010. And in this documentary, they interviewed parents and teachers and students. It was called A Race to Nowhere. They even had students as young as I would estimate about first grade that they're just kind of asking about the educational process and what your goals are in life. And there was a first grader, roughly, who's sharing how he's stressed out because he might get an A- on a test. Because you see, everything that's been told to this very young man was that in order to have the good life, you have to have the best paying job. In order to have the best paying job, you have to get into the most prestigious university. In order to do that, you have to really, from a young age, be singularly focused on this goal, run this race. It's all about having the best grades, but not just grades. No, you also have to be part of extensive extracurriculars that really boost your portfolio when you go to apply to that college. And so as they're interviewing all these teachers and these parents and these students, just seeing the anxiety and the pressure that's just plaguing the whole system. And this was, again, put together in 2009 is when they did the interviews in California. And I saw this in Northern Virginia where I was serving, and Northern Virginia is not that different as far as the high level of anxiety, high level of expectation of their students as it was in California. In fact, admittedly, every April was my least favorite month of the year because it was the saddest, because that was when most often the acceptance or rejection letters came. And if you have students who their entire life of 18 years has been dedicated to one singular focus, and suddenly that is shattered. Well, the choices that got made are not always the best. And what's sad, the reason why it's called A Race to Nowhere, is even for those individuals, those lucky few who made it on to the prestigious colleges, and they worked their way through, and they got on to their careers, many of them felt very lost. In other words, their whole life had been revolving around just this one thing, getting to this one goal. And when they achieved that, suddenly, even there, they went, what do I do now? So what is the good life? There are some people who might think it's something kind of reflected in a Jimmy Buffett song, wasting away in Margaritaville. In other words, well, the good life is when I'm on vacation. But really, that's just a matter of taking yourself out of the anxiety and the hustle and the bustle and the normal life into a place that you finally feel like you can breathe. It's interesting. The first reading that I had for today is someone who perhaps thought he knew what the good life was. So there's someone in a crowd who says to Jesus, Jesus, my brother wants me to divide, or rather, I want my brother to divide the inheritance with me? Why won't he do this? Can you make him do this, Jesus? And Jesus says, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And Jesus takes this opportunity to kind of teach everyone about what is really of value. He says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. And Jesus told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops. Oh, what a wonderful, terrible problem. And he said, I'll do this. I'm going to tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose then will they be? So it is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Again, there's a natural temptation, I think, for all of us that says, well, you know, sure, I might be content and happy, but if I had more money, I surely will be that much more happy. It was intriguing, as I was doing my YouTube researching, there was a study that was done where it talked about how they took people and they kind of rated them on a scale of kind of basically really unhappy with life and moderately happy, pretty happy, extremely happy. And they found that the ones who were least happy, when they gave them a significantly more amount of money, they remained unhappy. And now it was true in this study, they found that the people who were very happy, when they got more money, they did seem to increase their happiness the best that you can actually test that metric. But the point being that it was really a matter of exemplifying the disposition that they already had in life. In other words, the money wasn't so much the thing as more of just an additional data point, a thing of self-reflection. But that was not the source by any means of the happiness. It wasn't like, oh, well, these people were miserable and then we gave them money and suddenly now they're happy. It never worked that way. And yet you have this kind of constant message in society. You look at advertising, the whole point of advertising is saying, don't be content where you are, but instead be discontent. And if you just get this product, then you can be content. Then you can be happy. Then you will have the good life. And in order to get that, then you perhaps need more money to do that. And yet the truth of it is that this is not the good life. It is not just the accumulation of stuff for the sake of having the stuff, as Jesus says in the parable. So what then is the good life? And how do you get there? Well, Jesus says to us in our other reading, he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. It's interesting, you pause right there and reflect upon, one, what is Jesus talking about, and two, the other times he mentions little children. In Luke's account where Jesus quoted as saying that, it's actually right after Jesus sends out the disciples, which happens here in Matthew, but they come back and they tell Jesus, like, oh my gosh, it was amazing, even the demons were subject to us. And Jesus says, don't rejoice that the demons were subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. And in light of the disciples coming back and saying these things, that's when Jesus says, I thank you, my heavenly Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and the learning and revealed them to little children. In other words, in that instance, the little children that Jesus is referring to is not actual, like, my children's age, but rather adults who don't say to themselves, look how wise and of understanding that I am, that I can discern the things of God and know the way of God and follow the way of God by my strength and my knowledge and my power. But rather, the one who has created all things and sustains all things has revealed these things to these people who otherwise would have no knowledge of such things. Or in a similar vein, Jesus is talking and disciples are trying to refuse little children, this time I think actually little children, coming to Jesus. Because they're like, no, no, the teacher is way too valuable to be bothering with this sort. And Jesus says, well, no, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Unassuming, having no inherent value in and of themselves, and yet having been given value by the Creator of all things. And so it's astounding that Jesus says, even in this, that the truths of God have been revealed not to the ones who have spent their lifetime searching out these answers and then have been given the fruits of their labor, but rather to those who do not deserve it. And yet to that is who God gives these truths. And then Jesus says, yes, Father, such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And it struck me again, the concept of the good life being that which is just taking it easy and resting and being free from any labor whatsoever is the perception, I believe, that is often propitiated by our society. Or earn enough money that then you never have to work another day in your life. And yet Jesus calls the good life a yoke, a tool for the purpose of work. He calls the good life a burden, which almost seems a contradiction in terms. And yet, if you stop and think about what are the things that so often cause us anxiety, whether, again, it's, you know, trying to earn the most money, or perhaps trying to be the most important person in a room, or perhaps striving for so many things that we get such great anxiety because it's not happening exactly the way that we want it, and we just are a big ball of stress. In other words, the burdens you experience are so often self-fraught, self-designed, self-imposed, all shaped by your perception of what is it that you're striving for and how unattainable it seems. And yet Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my work that I have for you upon you. For my work is easy. The burden that I impose upon you is quite light. So what is that then? What is it that Jesus desires for us? I think a lot of wisdom in that, a lot of understanding that could be found in the Sermon on the Mount. First in there, Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves come in and steal, but rather store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Or earlier on, he says, let your light so shine before others they might see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. At the very end of the sermon, Jesus says, how you want other people to treat you, that's exactly how you should treat others. In other words, what I'm getting at here, what I think Jesus is saying, as you take both this section and what he had said formerly in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, is that how you should order your life should be very little about you. Very little about what you can do to better yourself before others. And rather, you should order your life in light of how it is that God could use you to be a blessing to others. In other words, I'm not reading this and thinking that it's specifically Jesus saying, all right, come, take my yoke upon you, and all of you are going to be professional church workers. though there are some, as it's written, that God has given to be prophets and teachers and pastors and the sort of that, for building up the body of Christ. I don't believe that's God's design for even a majority of those who follow him and say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And yet to all of us, Jesus says, let your light shine before others, that they might see your good deeds. And the result is not that you receive glory, but that your Father in heaven receives glory. In other words, every day you have an opportunity to reflect the love that God has for you to the people around you. And this doesn't have to be some grand venture of sorts. No, I would suggest even the small things, like you go to the checkout line at a grocery store and you have an opportunity to interact with that cashier, however might seem fit. Take those opportunities just to be pleasant. Maybe it's a low bar, but I mean seriously. I haven't worked in that job. I worked as a delivery driver. One of the most memorable, unexpected times was I knocked on the door, and there was, I'd say, about a 10-year-old girl who opened the door and said, "What do you want, freak?" Was not expecting that. I was just like, "I have your food." But the point that I'm getting at with that little story is how whatever day we've been having, whatever experience we've had up to that moment as we're interacting with another person, we might be tempted to bring all this past experience of that day to that moment and be irritated. It's been a rough day, and so everyone else has to bend to my will and my desire, and that's what I expect. And yet you have an opportunity with every moment that you have, whether it's with a delivery driver, a cashier, with the people that you're sharing the road with. How easy it can be to get frustrated when someone does something that you think is stupid. I'll let you imagine your own as to what that might be. Yet really the reality is that you have a Heavenly Father who gives you all that you need to support this body and life, who has taken care of your salvation so that that is not a thing you have to stress out and be anxious about, but rather given as a gift to you, undeserved by you, you have that. As the one who has done all these things for you says, follow me. See things from my perspective and live life in accordance with that. In other words, the good life is when you are living life with God in the way that he designed it for you to live. Not free entirely from any work, but rather doing the work that God has made you for and celebrating that. Waking up more and saying, thank you, God, that you have given me this day. How can I be a blessing to those that I come in contact with today? May they be blessed by you through me. Let that be how my day is organized. I think that is the picture that Jesus has when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. A rest from the stress, a rest from the hustle and bustle, a rest from everything else that's trying to pull you and say, you should be focused on these things all about you, and when it's not happening, be discontent and angry. Instead, focus on the truly good life that God has in store for you. A one that is built on trust, a one that is built on recognizing the overabundance of what God has blessed you with. And in blessing you, he flows that blessing out to others you come in contact with. May this be how you order your days. May this be the burden that you carry. Amen.
Christ, soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus.
Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day that you have given us, Lord. And Lord, as we enter into this day, Lord, we pray for Pam Hefner and Lewis Johnson, who are going to be having surgery tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you would bless the surgeon's work, give them a quick and full recovery. And Lord, we thank you for the healing that you've given Marcella Doyle, Angie Hummel's mom. I pray that you continue to help her to recover and return to her home. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you have poured out on us in this nation. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we enjoy, especially the freedom to worship you and just be able to speak your word and gather as your people without fear. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from you. On this Independence Day, we remind that our greatest freedom is not found in any earthly government, but in your Son, Jesus. Through his death and resurrection, you have set us free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Help us to live as people who have been redeemed, serving you and loving our neighbors. Lord, we pray for our nation's leaders. Give them wisdom, integrity, and humility as they carry out the responsibilities of their offices. Guide them, Lord, and help them to seek peace, protect the vulnerable, and promote the well-being of all. Lord, I pray that you would bless those who serve in our armed forces, law enforcement, fire departments, and emergency services. Watch over them and bring them safely home to their families every night. And Lord, we pray that you would bless our communities, heal divisions, calm anger, and turn hearts toward truth, compassion, and reconciliation. Help us to be faithful citizens who honor those in authority while remembering that our highest allegiance belongs to you. And Lord, help us to stay thankful, Lord, for the sacrifices of those who have defended our freedom throughout our nation's history. Comfort the families who have lost loved ones in the service to our country. And give us hearts that never take these blessings for granted. And Lord, finally, fix our eyes on the hope that will not fade. The heavenly homeland you have prepared for all those who trust in Christ. Until that day, keep us steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and active in love. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Say.
wicked sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and hear.
Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain.
So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and hear.
Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall.
So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus.
The way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark, then pours the rain.
Then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus.
Dear friends, having received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the strength and the forgiveness that he so freely gives us in this gift, depart in his peace. Amen. and receive our Lord's blessing today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Well, thank you again for joining us in worship this day. We have no education today, no Sunday school, no Bible class, but I do want to remind everybody of Touch a Truck. That is this Saturday, 9 a.m., I believe, is the start time, but there's details in your bulletin. You have a hand. What's up? Camilla's tomorrow. Yes, dying to donate. Again, supports the Guatemala mission trip. Thank you. Anything else that I'm missing? Fantastic. Well, again, have a wonderful, blessed week, and enjoy the slightly cooler weather. God be with you.